Last time on the Atheist's Bible and No Wardrobe, we read Genesis 3, verses 8 through 16. We saw God go nuclear over Adam and Eve's fashion choices, and we played a round of the blame game.
Hello and welcome to the Atheist's...
The Bible.
And No Wardrobe, the podcast. And... That was that recap was so funny, Connie. I don't know. You every time I hear it, it makes me giggle.
Well, God gives me good material to work with.
He should have been a joke. He should have been a joke writer instead. Then life would have been a whole lot better for everybody, because these stories are fucking horrible.
He's more the straight man, but yes, you need a good straight man.
Yeah, well, he's got a lot of straight people, but unfortunately, he bends them to the will of his craziness. So,
Are we ready for more craziness?
I'm so ready for crazy. I've got myself strapped down, and I bought myself a straitjacket just so I could make sure that I don't go screaming away from this microphone and into the night.
Well, we can't have that.
No, can't have that. That would definitely be terrible, because there'd be a lot of dead air and a lot of going, Packard, where'd you go?
Over the edge,
I'm gone. Would you lead us off with 3:17?
Yes. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all of the days of thy life.
Wow, that's a weird statement there. Hearkened unto the voice of thy wife.
Yeah, God is a misogynist, chauvinist pig.
Apparently, yeah. Just a notation here. It says here that Adam is also punished, though less severely. Now he has to work for a living because he hearkened unto the voice of his wife. So he listened, basically saying that because he listened to what his wife said, and she said, hey, you do this thing, therefore, this is another way of saying, don't listen to women. Don't listen to women. Women, everything that women say is fucking wrong.
But she didn't say anything. She just offered him some food.
Yeah. She's like,
she didn't tell him to do it.
No, she didn't. Said,
here.
She just said, yeah, this is food. Have some.
Exactly.
He could have still said no, but the point is on that is just that everything women do is wrong. They can't say anything right. They can't do anything right. It's always their fault. That's what that passage means.
Yes. Oh yeah. It's really disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. So here we go. This is like I said, toiling too. Just. Before, he didn't have to do anything except pick fruit.
Yeah. Well, picking fruit is still a job. Ask anybody that comes up from Mexico and as an illegal worker and says, yeah, I'll come pick some fruit. Just don't deport. Just don't tell anybody I'm here. Okay. All right. We have machines for that now. And I guess strawberries are a little more delicate to pull off, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, picking fruit is a job. Don't let anybody kid
well,
you. It's a job, yeah.
But I don't even know what he was doing other than just getting to harvest everything.
I guess to fuck the sheep, you know. That's a little side benefit, I guess. 3:18, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the earth. I almost wanted to read that as herb of the earth. I was like, the herb of the earth. Hey, Herb, you want to come over? I want to have a little, you know.
God's saying no more Roundup, you know. And I'm not going to sell you the weed killer anymore.
No weed killer for you. You got to with your no armor, no extra clothing, no, not even a pair of gloves. You're not allowed to have those. You got to work your way through those bushes and the bramble and to try to survive now. There's another notation here. It says that God's not done cursing yet. He curses the ground that causes the thorns and thistles to grow. Because of this, according to the false Genesis story, plants have no natural defenses. The rose has no thorn, cacti were spineless, and nettles have no sting. Foxgloves, Orlando, and milkweeds are perfectly safe to eat.
Yeah. This is also where they say that this is why the earth is cursed. This is where partly where we start to see the degeneration of the earth itself. And I don't know. Some people like to say that this is where storms and all these other things come from, or like I said, weeds and all the bad things.
The weeds. You know, there's an old saying: if you dig it out and it grows back, it's a weed. If you plant, if you water it and take care of it, and it dies, it's a plant.
That's probably very true. What are the herbs of the field, though? What is that supposed to mean?
I don't know. That's a good question. What is the herbs of the field? The herb. I guess the herb is just, you know, the spices or anything that comes from a field, I guess, you know. Anything you could take, anything you can eat from the field, I imagine.
Maybe things that you actually have to cook to eat them, too.
Yeah.
There's a little more work in getting your food. 320. And Adam,
getting 319, yeah.
319. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Okay, they're making bread. Okay. Till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for that dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return.
So he's saying, this is where they get the passage, you came from dust, and you shall return to dust when you die. You know, that's the old saying. Although I've never seen anybody turn into dust. I mean, well, you know, we got skin, and that turns into a little... it comes into parts of dust bunnies, I guess. But, you know, the Christians will often say, well, if we came from monkeys, we're still monkeys. It's like, okay, God created us from dust. Why is there still fucking dust?
It's almost dead bodies. but I noticed that Adam's not dying today.
No, he's not dying today. God said that he was going to die if he eats the fruit. And here he says, Now you got to go up and make bread. When were you going to die? It doesn't say. It just is like, so he basically, this is a good indication that he's lied, because he said that you have to go out and do these things now. You have to do manual labor, you little fucker.
Well, as far as the thing how, you know, and you're going to, you know, he's going to die one day, but when God already said you'll die that day, I guess we can see where all of those preachers get all of those prophetic words, and then they don't come to pass. They're acting just like God.
320. And Adam called his wife named Eve because she was the mother of all living. Oh, so she doesn't even get to pick her own fucking name.
What has he called her up till now? Woman?
No, Miss Bouncy Tits, you know, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. I think he might be. Wouldn't he be? Never mind.
Wait a minute. Where's that woman's penis? I don't understand. I got one. Why don't you have one?
Don't you love the apologists who say that, she had all of the genetic material for everybody?
That's what they say here. There's a little sidebar on this one. That they think that everything or everyone was came from Eve, but they've already proven that you can't have a population of less than 10,000 for it to be survive.
Yeah,
there's not enough genetic diversity. There's not enough genetic diversity between Adam and Eve. I mean, it doesn't matter how many kids they have. Who are they gonna fuck? You know.
Because she was the mother of all living.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just calling her a real mother.
You're a mother.
Damn it.
Now, later on, there is a, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. And it says here, Melchizedek just appeared without a father or mother. So he wasn't descended from Adam and Eve, and that comes later in like Hebrews. But we're not quite that far yet. So it just shows you that the book is not consistent. It says that everybody supposedly comes from Eve except for this one guy. So,
3:21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them.
So God made the coats of skin. He couldn't take him down to the tailor shop and say, you know, we're going to fix you up with a nice three-piece suit, maybe, you know, get you, or at least we'll take you down to the local Fleet Farm or Farm and Fleet or the Walmart or whatever, and we're going to get you some nice duds so you can at least have something good to work in. But no, he's going to give them fur coats and fur skins. This is your first clothing.
Well, we all know what the apologists say about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a sacrifice. This is showing that blood had to be shed to cover up their nakedness and blah.
There was one other thing.
Evidently, God has hands too.
Yeah, apparently he has hands. He is able to. Yeah, they are just he just popped them into existence. It really doesn't say. It just says he made coats of skin. He's able to make the entire universe by talking into existence, and has to blow on dirt. Dust to make a man, but he actually has to physically work the animals to make them into coats and skins. That should tell you something right there. If you're not reading this far into it, and you've got that far, and God has to physically do something manually to create something, like something as simple as that. Well, it's probably not real super simple, but I mean, if you have no knowledge of what you're doing, that's like, okay, I'm going to take this fur off this other animal. I'm going to put it on me, and that's it. You know, that takes a little bit of skill, but, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like weaving, you know, like real weaving like we have in modern day.
Well, there, I don't know. For me, it kind of brings up a whole lot of questions, and you just don't understand. If he's so upset about this, why does he care?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't get that.
Yeah. There was another thing that I was going to ask in the previous episode. I completely forgot. Since God was able to make Adam sleep and to take his rib, after they ate of the tree of knowledge, why didn't he just put them back both to sleep and wipe their memories and then hit the whole reset button? We wouldn't be in this mess. All he had to do was just hit the reset button. We would have been fine. But no.
An all-powerful God. Someone that big should be able to just forgive.
Yeah, you should just forgive. No.
Say, okay, this is what you have to do now.
Yeah, this is what you have to do now. Just forgive. Just say, hey, go kill one of those sheep that you've been fucking and burn it on the tree over there, and then I'll forgive you. That's it. That's all you had to do. But there's only two people at this point. Who else does he have to forgive? Nobody.
God.
He doesn't care enough about the animals to care if they get sacrificed because he's skinning them already.
Yeah.
3:22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us. Who is he talking to? To know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Okay, now they're talking about eating off the tree of life, but he said he says lest he takes it from it, the tree of life, he's going to live forever. But he doesn't, as far as I can tell so far.
Well,
unless I'm reading this wrong,
I don't understand. See, I don't understand why this is about. He wasn't the man going to live possibly forever anyway.
Yeah.
Wasn't he made perfect? And if he was made like. If he's like the gods, how come there's more than one? And to know good and evil, so God knows good and evil,
right?
But it's okay for him.
And become one of us. Again, who is he talking to? Is he talking to the angels? And I've heard apologists say, well, we're not perfect because, you know, we're flawed humans. Well, doesn't that make the creator flawed also? Because if I had the knowledge, I could make an iPhone. But the or let's say I have the knowledge to make an iPhone app. It'll never be perfect because there'll always be bugs, because there's always a problem, because things change. There's always a problem somewhere down the line. And if I knew everything, I could make the thing work forever without ever having to change ever. But the thing is, it's going to be flawed because I'm flawed. So the creator is the God creator is also flawed because his creation was flawed.
Now see, lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. I've heard preachers say that the tree of life is actually sort of like a cross, and it's a type of Jesus. So here God says, no, I don't want that. Why doesn't he want that? If this is supposed to be foreshadowing why Jesus came, then why doesn't God just take him to the tree of life and say, look, this is how it makes it better.
Right?
No, it's a bitter, vindictive old fucker man. Sorry, but just, I shouldn't swear this much.
If you're reading this Bible and you're not swearing, I have serious questions about you then.
So that tree of life, see, that's a problem for me. That right there, because I'm like, wait, why shouldn't you want this? Isn't that what all the Christians are all about? Is like once you're born again, you're gonna live forever with Jesus. But here, God's obviously wanting to prevent something like that happening.
Yeah, well, yeah. If he doesn't want his first creation to live forever, why the fuck would he want anybody else to live forever also?
Exactly.
So this whole notion of after you die, you're gonna live forever. It's just bullshit because you're not going. There's no way you're going to live forever because he doesn't want you to live forever. He doesn't even want his first creation to live forever. Why would he want anybody else to live forever? Maybe it'll be farther in the Bible, Connie.
In this line of thinking, it actually makes sense why the Bible contradicts itself so much. Why there are groups of Christians and believers who say you're once saved forever is always saved, and there's another group that says no, you can actually lose your salvation. Because the Bible isn't clear on it.
Right.
And so did God create, if God created the Bible, then he did this on purpose to trip us up because nobody's going to get into heaven.
No, yeah, nobody's, it's impossible. It's literally impossible.
And that's a dick move.
Yeah, it is a dick move.
Am I next?
Yes, you're next.
3:23. Yep. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken.
Wait a minute. So wait a minute. He didn't create Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? Wait a minute.
He put him there.
Yeah, no, but it says here, he says he sent them forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground whence he was taken. So he was taken from the ground that was outside of Eden.
Yes, actually, but that is correct. We did read that because it says how God picked him up and he planted, put him in the garden, and then he had to kind of set him aside because he was planting the garden.
Right, but
he moved him there. Yes.
Yeah, but he was okay. So he was all right. So he was moved to the Garden of Eden from another location.
Right.
Okay.
So he put him back there. So great.
Okay. Well, it's consistent in that one spot then. He took him out. He picked him up. Took him out. Put him back. Put him back. Oh. And he's like he's moving the little dollies around.
Well. Okay, we'll give God that.
We'll give him one.
We'll give the Bible that.
We'll give one. I've got five or six contradictions already, and you give him one that's somewhat not contradictory. Somewhat not contradictory.
If I don't have contradictions, I have questions. But yes.
Yeah.
Those are numerous.
Yeah. I've got lots of questions too. 3:24. So he drove out the man. We got him in the caddy, take him out. He's like, here, I'm going to drive you out of here. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims, and a flaming sword, which turned away every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So he puts cherubims, or I'm imagining these are like, big fucking angels or something with flaming swords.
They're covering like, angels.
Yeah.
Wings or something.
Yeah. Why weren't there? They didn't have Edom cherubims around the tree of good and evil, but he puts them around the tree of life and at the gate of the Garden of Eden. It sounds like at the gate here to keep them out. Why didn't he just put them around that tree instead? But he says, you can eat of anything in this thing except for this one, but he's not protecting it. But the tree of life and the entrance ways, he's got that guarded like a goddamn fucking Fort Knox.
Are you having any flashbacks to Willy Wonka and the chocolate factory? Just how basically everything inside that factory was an entrapment.
Yeah.
He knew what these kids were going to do.
Yeah.
So
I never thought of it like that. I never considered that with the Charlie and the Chocolate Family makes so much more weird sense to me now.
Yeah, I know.
It's basically this story. It's basically this story.
Yeah.
Oh, well, the exception of them creating it, that's the only thing they did was they opened a candy bar and got in. But this one here, he's created. Okay. All right.
Except Willy Wonka was a real person.
Yeah.
And God's imaginary.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
No, wait.
Well, there was.
He's real. I know he's real.
He was real. I mean, there is a Willy Wonka candy factory. So, yeah.
That's true.
They're kind of. Maybe there might be a Willy Wonka. I don't know.
Flaming swords.
Flaming swords. It really doesn't make sense.
Everything's fine until we get out the flaming swords, God. Wait, it'll escalate this thing.
Yeah, it's all fun and games until the flaming swords show out.
Flaming.
Flaming swords. Woo-hoo! Maybe the cherubs were gay. I was just saying, they're flaming.
The cherubim, God's like, yes, I don't want to. I'm... Just stand there and turn and turn. Turn a little bit more like that. Yes. Oh, okay. That robe looks really hot. Let me help you with that robe. God.
All right. Well, moving on to Genesis 4. Connie, will you lead us off? Yes, the first one of Genesis 4.
Uh-oh. Okay, not safe for work.
Not safe for work. All right. This part might be a little dangerous for you. So if you're listening in your car, pull over quickly. Quickly. Stop right now. Not in traffic, but just pull over. Okay.
And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. What?
What?
Why did she think?
Why? Wait a second. Wait a minute. He knew his wife. I just say fucked. He just fucked his wife. They're talking about fucking. That's what this is. This is all like he knew. No, he didn't knew. He fucked her. He bent her over the water cooler and took her from behind.
Because he's thinking about that sheep.
He's still thinking of the sheep. He had to, you know. It's the only way he can keep it up.
I love the euphemisms. They just crack me up.
Yeah.
And
apparently this is also the first mention of sexual intercourse in the entire Bible. Just so everybody's on board with that already. By the way... where he says, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. That sounds kinky. I'm just saying, it's like, no, he didn't get a man. You didn't get a man from God or the Lord. You got it from your wife. Your wife is the one that carried the baby, carried the, you know, the thing. First, it was just a zygote. Now it's a baby. And now, but you know, here's the thing is though, everybody that's born, every man that's been born today started out as a woman. That's just, you know, that's how biology works. You start out as a female and you work and you become either male or you stay female. It's all about genetics and it's all about how the DNA works. That's true. That's absolutely true.
Yep.
4:2. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. So he came right out as a man. I'm just kind of wondering, is this what she did mean by she bared a man? It's like all of a sudden, pop out, a man pops out. That must have been one hell of a childbirth. I'm just saying.
I don't even want to know what she looked like after that.
Oh,
poor thing.
I don't know how he got it. I don't know how he didn't fall out. The second time, if he just bared a man. Boo.
I guess I'm confused. Are they twins? Or did she actually get pregnant a second time? That's not clear either.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I never really thought about that. I always assumed that it was one, and then 9 months later, another one. But that's very plausible that they could have been twins. They could have been fraternal twins, or maybe even identical twins.
Right. And I don't understand here. I mean, this is just a division of labor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one's taking care of the sheep and the other is taking care of the ground. Actually, the whole thing that when they got kicked out, when Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden, that's what God said that you'd be doing. You're going to be, you know, tilling the ground. You're going to be, so Cain, you know, Cain's out there helping his dad.
Right.
I see no problem with that.
Yeah, that's the job you were assigned. You go to work. And you're assigned a certain job to do certain things. And it's like, okay, you go over here and sweep, and you go over here, paint the walls, and you get in the office and take off all your clothes and get ready to get busy. And it's just saying, you know. That's at the strip club, of course.
And these are the only two that they have up to this point, so there's just four people.
Yeah.
Okay, 4:3. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Well, that's nice of him. He's taking some of it, what he's hard earned, you know, hard worked for labor, and he's offering it to God.
Yeah, all the grains and the bananas, and the well, they don't have any bananas. That's
no, because what we have today as bananas are genetically altered. We've husbanded these plants.
Oh yeah, that's why they're dying out right now. So. And 4:4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respected unto Abel and to his offering. So because Abel brought forth a sheep or a baby calf, I'm assuming, because it says the firstlings of the flock, which would probably, I imagine the firstlings would be the, you know, the baby lambs.
Oh, well, he kept sheep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what a sheep is. I mean, that's what a lamb is. It's a baby sheep.
Oh, you were saying cattle, though.
Oh, that
you said cattle there.
Oh, no, I didn't say cattle. I said the baby sheep.
Yeah.
That would be a baby sheep. You know, it's a lamb.
Yeah.
So he brought seems to like the lambs a lot better. You notice that because they're always saying Jesus was the Lamb of God. So this is why this lamb is so much more important than the fruits and vegetables that Cain had brought.
Yeah, and that gets him some respect. It gets Abel some street cred with God.
Yeah, you brought me the sheep. I'm gonna have fajitas tonight, and I'm gonna have me some gyros. Oh yeah.
4:5. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell.
No respect
Cain.
Over here, Rodney Dangerfield. No respect, no respect.
What was Cain supposed to do? I guess Cain was supposed to barter with his brother and get a lamb instead of doing, you know, giving of what he's done.
Right.
How many times have I had a sermon where some preacher says that, you know, you tithe and your offerings, it's what you do, it's what you give, and it should be fine. I'm like, well, evidently not. If you don't give God the right thing in the right way, he's not going to, he's just no respect for you.
Right.
And unfortunately, it you know, and I don't blame him. I don't blame Cain for being wroth, for being angry.
No. Doing all that extra work for tilling the garden, I mean, first with the sheep, you just got to, for example, you just got to get them to fuck. And then you just got to sit there and wait until they're born. And then you have to, of course, you have to feed them and water them. You know, a couple
protect
times a day.
Protect them from predators.
Yeah, and protect them from
make
predators.
Make sure that they don't just wander off the edge of a cliff somewhere.
Right. Now, with plants,
stupid.
you have to tend to them all the time too. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think the
it's
tilling.
A lot of physical work.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think the tilling is a lot more physical work than the other one is. I mean, yeah, you have to go with a bucket and, you know, throw some feed at them. But you know, the other ones, you have to dig, and you have to dig into the ground. That takes a lot of work.
Yeah. Especially since God let all of those weeds and thistles and thorns loose. Now they have to pull all that crap in there, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There was a slight notation here. It says, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. So basically, just saying that he's like I said, there's no respect for fruits, but respect for animals, for the sacrifice, because you can't make a carrot cry out after you've stabbed it with a knife.
Yeah, our little side note here is speculating why did God prefer dead animals to fruits and vegetables. No reason is given, but it probably had something to do with the amount of pain, blood, and gore involved, because that is God's signature move.
Yeah, this God is a very gory God. He loves gore. He's a gore whore.
He's a psychopath.
That's a psychopath. If someone says, yeah, I got vegetables, okay. Oh, you killed something for me. I like it. Walk away. Anything that's anybody that says starts acting like that when you say he brought me something dead. Oh yeah, they're fucking psycho. I'm just saying. 4:6, and the Lord said unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen?" Again, it shows that he is not all knowing. I mean, the apologist probably would say that he was giving Cain the opportunity to lie to him and see if, you know, because he knows if he's going to lie or not. But that doesn't make any sense, because he knows that if he's going to lie, God already knows he's going to lie. So why bother asking him?
I can't understand it. This is something that, first of all, God's still walking around and talking to people, but this is almost baiting.
Yeah.
A sensitive, any kind of, you know, most people, even if you're kind of a jerk, would realize and recognize when you've ticked somebody off.
Yeah.
And what you've done to tick somebody off, and the person who refuses to admit that they did anything is God.
Yeah.
Lord God right here. And, he's not asking. I don't even think that he's asking. In a sincere way.
Yeah.
God's just like, what's the matter with you?
Yeah, what's the matter with you, fucker? I don't give a shit. I liked his stuff better than yours. What's the matter with you? I mean, it's your fault because you gave me fucking vegetables. I mean, what am I supposed to do with a vegetable? Stick it up my nose? My God.
This is a rhetorical question.
Yeah.
He's asking here, and it's pissed me off. 4:7, here God continues, if thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him.
Wow, that's horrible.
Yeah.
It sounds to me, this reads like, I had it in my head a second ago. He's basically saying, because you spent your time playing in the dirt. You were over there playing in the dirt. You weren't doing any real work. You were just over there playing in the dirt, growing stuff, you know. But him, the guy that brought me something to kill and to watch you kill, that's work. So this is no different than someone that says that I don't approve of the type of job you do because I don't think that's real work, even though it's just as much real work as somebody else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's baiting him.
Yeah, he definitely baited him.
God, this is...
and he says the sin is going to rule over him. I mean, desire. What's wrong with having a desire? Desire is a good thing, because if without desire, we would not be here today, because we desire more often than not the opposite sex, and that's what drives us, is our desire.
Desires.
Yeah, our desires. And to have recording equipment, I desire to be able to record my voice. I desire to be able to communicate with other people across the globe from the palm of my hand as I walk around. That's a desire. I mean, desire is a good thing. He's trying to make desire look like it's an evil thing or a bad thing to have.
Well, if God didn't desire anything, then there would have been no need for anybody to sacrifice.
Right.
To do this. So
And if there, if God was had no desire to have people worship him, he wouldn't have created man to begin with. So it's do as I say, but not as I do.
Projectionist.
Very, very much projection. 4:8, and Cain talked with his Abel. No, I'm sorry. 4:8, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Whoa, dude! See, no one called the cop. You know, obviously they had a few words. You know, say, God, like your stuff better than mine. Why the fuck? You're all smelly and shit. You smell like God. You've been smelling like the goddamn sheep you've been fucking, you know.
Well, what did they say?
I don't know. It didn't say.
See, that's information. And for all we know, Cain was just like, look, I don't understand. And Abel's like, well, you're just a jerk. You know, for all we know, Abel was a real prick about the whole thing, but that's not recorded either.
Yeah,
Cain could have gone there because he's really upset. He's upset that this got rejected, and maybe he went to Abel to try and find that out.
Yeah, why did he like your stuff better than me? He doesn't have the same knowledge.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't have the knowledge of why. He just like, well, God snubbed me. Why did he like your stuff better?
And I mean, people don't just go off and kill somebody.
No. Well, they can, but I mean, they just don't, you know.
Not just, you know, flip like a switch. This is like flip like a switch. We don't know anything about these two men.
Right.
At all. And this is just.
There's not enough character development. Yeah, there's no character development in here. They're just like, okay, one brother grew grains, the other one raised animals, and then the other one flipped out and fucking killed the other guy. Why? Yeah. What's the motivation? There's no motivation yet. They say, yeah, because one liked the because God liked his stuff better than his. But I mean, I mean, just for myself, I don't care. I wouldn't care. I mean, that just means give.
Well, does God's favor have to matter anyway? What is going to be gained by having God favor your offering? We don't even know that. This is just.
Oh, that's very true.
Thanks offering, and so God's, you know, for their thank you offering.
Yeah, there's no idea of what you're going to get out of it. What's like it in for me?
See, I think it's supposed to be like a first fruits offering, which I used to, you know, that's been a long time ago. I don't think about this stuff anymore. That might be what this was meant to be. Because, you know, the first, you know, one of the first of his lambs, and he's bringing here, Cain's bringing crops, and probably the first of the crops. And maybe it's just to have a better harvest next year. I don't know. But that's, again, bad writing.
There is a notation here. It says that Cain killed Abel, his brother, in a fit of religious jealousy. Religious jealousy. That is some freaky ass shit.
Yeah, well.
I've been
he's shedding blood.
Yeah.
Which, again, that should please God.
Yeah, God loves a good killing.
4:9, and the Lord God said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?
Again, we show that God is not all-knowing. And, of course, again, the apologists are going to say that he gave him an opportunity to lie. We're going to have to wrap this up. We went a little bit over.
As it's getting really rotten.
Just as it's starting to get really rotten here.
Am I my brother's keeper? But we're supposed to keep the time.
Yeah, supposed to keep the time, yes. but I'll tell you what, we'll finish that last part of it up. But yeah, it's a good question. Why is he... why is he his brother's keeper? Why does he have to be his brother's keeper? It says Cain probably meant that more like, I don't know. It's not my day to watch him, basically.
Well, and as a parent, I can tell you that begging a question and basically does allow your child to lie. If you actually know what happened, don't ask him.
Yeah.
Just say, look, I saw that this happened. What do you want to say about it?
Right.
Right. So, God, you're a terrible parent.
He's a fucking horrible parent, but yep. I think we're better parents than he ever was to begin with. But anyway, We'll have to get out of here. Unfortunately, I do apologize for the little longer podcast. I was not watching the time. But if you want to keep time with us and follow us on Twitter, it's at twitter.com/ABANW podcast. And our Patreon, if you so feel like you want to donate a dollar or two to us, that's at patreon.com/ABANDNW. Visit our Facebook and hit the like button at facebook.com/ABANDNW. The blog page is at abandnw.wordpress.com. And be sure to email us with questions, comments, love, or hate mail, and send it to us at TATBANW, that's TATBANW, @gmail.com. Also, be sure to check out our main show at Packard Pokes At, which you can find on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and on YouTube. And please remember to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. That helps push us up in the ranking, and so other people can find us as well. And leave a review. You like the show, you hate the show, you want us to take the Bible and shoot it, whatever you want to do, just tell us how you like the show, you hate the show, whatever. You know, just if you like it, just keep on write a review for us. We'd love to hear from you. So until next time, this has been The Atheists,
The Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast.